Okay, and it's Friday night, and guess what it is? It's time for our weekly message, and I'm so glad that you are here. I'm kind of glad to see a former chat member showing up, too. It was kind of exciting to see that, you know, and I've still been trying to send out emails to folks and trying to get them to join. One of our former moderators says she doesn't handle audio too well, but I've been talking to Bruce, you know, on email, so I need to talk to him on Skype. Maybe I can get him to start coming here on Fridays, but depending on his schedule. But I'm trying to make an effort to try to, you know, get a lot of people back. I mean, we used to use G-Chats for this, and everybody used to join it, you know, and we're still doing this to the faithful few that's showing up, and I'm just still trying to throw the offer out there. So, again, welcome. It's Friday night. I'm glad that you're here. Again, the Lord led me to another message because, again, I was thinking about this from last week. And I was thinking about this a lot because, again, I've been seeing some things happening, you know, around the world. I'm pretty sure that you can relate to this also. I want you to think about this, that everywhere you look today, it seems we hear more reports of churches in decline, more people walking away from the faith, and more people giving up on God. Now, when I first typed that, I sat there and started thinking, why is this happening? Why is it happening? Why are they walking away? Why are they giving up on God? Why are churches in decline? And unless we are willing to ask what I think can be some very real but difficult questions, we will never understand the why. How are we going to understand the why if we're not willing to ask difficult questions? And I asked y'all some difficult questions from last week in the message, and this is why, again, I challenge each and every one of us, you know, is what we do at church. We challenge each other to dig deeper. If you're not willing to dig, then how are you going to fully understand the whys and the whens and the whos and the whats and the ifs and everything else? I like to examine myself. I like to dig deeper because, again, I challenged us last week and I gave y'all a scary thought, you know, to think about. And also in my last message, I've spoken to you on how you or I may have seen other Christians giving up. We may have seen other Christians walking away from the faith or just plain outright quitting altogether. And while making that statement, if you really listen to it, and I do have an audio, but while I was making that statement, I asked us a very haunting question, and it was, when a Christian quits and walks away from Jesus, we are shocked and disheartened. In disbelief, we ask ourselves, why? Then I said it might be more appropriate if we asked ourselves, could that ever happen to me? Could it happen to me? And that was kind of a frightening thought, was it not? And I thought about that after that message. I thought about it all this week, and this is why I was led to this message. Think about it. Could that happen to me? Seeing that I've seen people just walking away from the faith, people leaving churches, people just plain outright quitting on God. Now, could it really happen? Could it? Is there any possibility that you too might one day turn away from the Christian way of life, rejecting the calling that God has given you? What assurances do you have that you are firmly rooted in God's true church? How can you be sure, absolutely 100% sure, that you are immune to such tragedy? It would be easy for us just to say, okay, I quit, to walk away. Life is too hard. I can't handle it. I can't take this no more. The scary fact here, many have came to this crossroads in their Christian walk. So once again, why do they quit? Why do they quit? I want to make sure you hear is simply this. What if the reason you gave up on God wasn't really a good reason to give up? Let me repeat that. What if the reason you gave up on God wasn't really a good reason to give up? Think about that one. Could it be you? Could it be that you blamed God for something that wasn't his fault? Were you taught something that has given you the wrong impression about him? Was it the imperfection of someone else that pushed you away? Whatever the reason is, hear this. Whatever the reason is, don't quit. Don't give up. Don't be so hard on yourself. You have Christ Jesus in you, and you have that inner peace. Friends, Satan is the one who wants you to think you do not. And he wants you to quit on Jesus and walk away. And sadly, many folks do quit. And they do walk away. And they do give up on God. And most of the reasons, I think, is, this is why I think this is why it happens. We think it's too hard to follow him and do as he asked us to do. I think that's the majority of the reasons why they quit. Lord, it's too hard to follow you. It's too hard to do what you asked me to do. If you got your Bibles with you tonight, it will be posted. Lisa does a very good job of doing that for us. We will be turning to John chapter 6 and starting with verse 66 through 69. John chapter 6, verse 66 through 69. And I'm going to back it up one more verse because I just looked at it when I was holding my Bible here. I'm going to start with verse 65, but the rest of them will be 66 through 69. And it said, and he said, therefore, I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by my Father. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Then Jesus said to the 12, do you also want to go away? But Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we ask of you to be with us tonight and be with us for a short little time. Father, we got one more that's joining us, and she's having a hard time not hearing the audio. I don't know what the problem is. You know, I wish I had the time to post the link so she can listen to the sermon later on. But, you know, hopefully we can figure out what the problem is and she can join us again next week. I mean, as always, Satan is trying to interfere with people trying to hear a message. It might be a message she needs to hear. I just don't know. But I ask of you to be with her, you know, at least she's trying to join this and she's trying to, you know, to hear a message, and she can still hear it once it's recorded and posted on the site. Thank you for giving us the technology to even do that. Father, I ask of you to bless those who are here tonight. They took the time to come here tonight. They could have went somewhere else. They could have just walked away and said, no, I'm not going to listen to Jim's sermon tonight. I'm going to do my own little thing. But folks, again, it's not about me. I never like to point glory to me, because all the glory goes back to you, O Heavenly Father. Because of you, you're the one that allows this to happen. Because of you, you're the one that leads me to these messages. And because of you, these messages mostly are meant for me, and a lot of times they're meant for someone else. I don't know who it is. Someone might be hurting here tonight. Someone might need to be encouraged tonight. Someone might just be thinking about giving up because it's too hard to follow you, and they just don't need to do that. They don't need to quit. They just need to stay the course and stay focused on you, no matter how hard it may be. Put a protective hedge around them, watch over them, take care of them, and let them know that you love them. And we pray all this in the sweet name of Jesus. Amen. Folks, I kind of thought about this, and this is why I did title this message, Don't Give Up Now. Not after all that you've been through. Don't give up, because why would you want to go back to that former life? It's not worth it. And yet, Satan tries his best to make us give up. He does. Because he can't stand to see us having that internal peace. He can't stand to see us learning and knowing the truth. He can't stand to see us to see that we have a heavenly home. And that's why he tries to attack us all the time in many different shapes and forms. And that's why when I read this passage, and in this passage that we just read, we see that our Lord had promised eternal life to his followers. The disciples fastened on that plain sand and resolved to cleave to him. When others fastened, or if you want to reuse another word, when others were so focused on the hard sands he was telling them and forsook him, or they just basically left. Now, sorry, man, you're teaching too hard. I can't comprehend that. I can't deal with that. You're asking me to do what? No. You see, that's all they were focused on. They were focused on saying, Jesus, you got too much of a hard saying. I'm not going to deal with it. Folks, crisis doctrine is the word of eternal life. And therefore, we must live and die by it. If we forsake Christ, pay close attention to this. If we forsake Christ, we forsake our own mercies. That's another scary thought, isn't it? So in this message, and I've been here lots of times. I've been there. I still do. 15 years of serving Jesus Christ, 12 years being in the ministry. I still am faced with this thought a lot. I'm still faced with this temptation a lot. I'm still faced with this. And in fact, I was hit with it this morning when trying to pray, quit. Just give up. Be that easy. So in this message, if we are at times are tempted to quit on Jesus, we need to be reminded several important reasons not to do so. The first reason of not quitting is present circumstances can be overcome. You get that? Present circumstances can be overcome. And Isaiah 41:13 says, for I am the Lord your God, who takes a hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear, I will help you. Wow. Many Christians today seem to accept this concept of following Jesus. Many seem to accept this concept that God is in control until circumstances get rocky in their lives. I would ask for a show of hands and how many have said, "Oh yeah, Lord, I'll follow you to the end," but until some circumstances hit your life, you decide you start getting to all kind of, "Well, I don't know about this. I should just quit. I can't handle this. I can't deal with it. I'm getting mad. I'm getting upset." You see what I'm saying? When we say, "Oh yes, God, you are in control," but when circumstances hits our lives, all of a sudden we start saying different things. I'm guilty of it. And at this point, whenever we're dealing with circumstances in our lives, we naturally seek to change our circumstances to fit our way. It seems like the best way to find true happiness and contentment is to take control and change the circumstances, doesn't it? Folks, I want you to know I'm learning. I'm learning. I'm learning, though, that isn't the way God works. That's not the way God works. God wants to change me. He wants to change you. And He may use our circumstances to do it. Remember, He is the potter. We are the clay. No matter what you are facing today, give your circumstances to God. Rise above this trick of the enemy, because in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7 says this. That's why he's saying right now, rise above that, because everything that we need, folks, everything that we need in our lives, is in the Word of God. And this is why we need to learn to rise above this trick of the enemy, because again, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7 says, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. And the main reason why this passage tells us to give all of our circumstances to God, because too many times we may find ourselves bringing God down to our level of thinking instead of raising ourselves up to His way of thinking and doing things His way. You see what I'm saying here, folks? We should just cast all our cares upon Him. "Here, God, you want it? It's there. That's done." But many times, we constantly want to bring God, "No, you coming down to my level. You hear me? You come down to my level, because I'm going to tell you how I'm going to fix this circumstance." And many Christians sometimes do that. I can't say non-believers do it, because, see, non-believers don't know what the Word of God says. So this is aimed at us. Whenever we're faced with something, we always think, "You know what, I'm going to take control of this situation, and I'm going to handle it, and I'm going to take care of it." But yet the Word tells us, cast all your cares upon Him, for He cares for us. When we're dealing with difficult circumstances in life, when things aren't going our way, sometimes we ask, "Why, God, why?" Don't we all do that at times? The correct way when dealing with difficult circumstances in your life, we shouldn't be asking, "Why, God, why?" We should be asking, "What, God, what? What are you trying to show me? What are you trying to show us? What are you trying to show me, Lord?" That's what we should be asking. That's what we should be asking when we have circumstances in our life. "What are you trying to show me in this?" And folks, I want to caution you on this. If we make the circumstances we're dealing with bigger than our God, then we just made a huge spiritual mistake. Plus, we destined ourselves to live with our current mess until we decide to give it to Jesus. So whatever you or I are facing, remember what God tells us in His words. Remember what He tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. It's right there in black and white, folks, which says, "No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it." In other words, don't quit. God helps you overcome whatever you're facing. If you're willing to trust Him and follow His ways and not of ourselves, God will help you overcome. Second point for tonight, second reason of not quitting or giving up. There are friends who are willing to help you. There are friends willing to help you. Some of you can attest to that here tonight. You came into this chat room when we had it open, searching, looking for answers. You may have been betrayed by other people. You may have been tossed out by other people. You may, whatever the reason may be, but you were looking for somebody to befriend you, and someone did. And look where you stand tonight. John chapter 15, verse 15 says this: "No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father, I have made it known to you." Jesus is the real friend we have in this world and in the kingdom to come. Yes, while traveling in this world, that's what we're doing. While traveling in this world, we do need friends. We do. We need real Christian friends who would help us, comfort us, listen to us, and be there for us when times are hard. And this is natural for us to have them. It's natural. Nothing wrong with it. And yes, true friends are hard to get by, not always. In an age where relationships are as disposable as plastic, lasting and persevering relationships have become what I call a rare commodity these days. It has. But God's design for friendship has always been to be genuine, authentic, and lifelong. That's His grand scheme of things. That's His grand design of a friendship, of a real friend. A real friend is hard to find, they say. We all had friends who disappeared in the blink of an eye. Friends we thought who were true, but weren't. And friends who only befriended us because they needed us in some way. And with each friendship proven false, we all got hurt. If you see me now, my hands up. I've been there. I've been hurt by so many Christian friends is unbelievable. Close friends here in town, friends what I thought were friends in church, friends I thought were friends in the chat room, friends I thought were friends in social media. Many of them hurt me. And I still deal with it sometimes in my heart. And because of these sad experiences, many of us will rather stay alone. And lots of times I feel like I don't want to be bothered with nobody. Leave me alone. Sometimes I fight that feeling because sometimes my best friend is Jesus. My second best friend is my wife. And a lot of times I just like to push her away. Don't talk to me. I don't feel like it. She's my real friend, besides Jesus. She's been hurt too. And my problem with that, trying to be a real friend to people because of all these hurts, many would rather keep to themselves like sometimes I do. And many don't want to trust no one anymore. That's why I'm a little reluctant of opening up to people. That's why I'm a little reluctant of trusting someone because of those things. And many end up losing their hope in humanity. After all the betrayals, the abandonments, the exposed lies, and undercover truths, many of us end up a lot more friendless and even more sad. But we need to remember one thing. God is the one who will never let us down. God will never let you down. Never. Why? The fact is, folks, He said He will not. Because if the whole world and all of its population fade, we have a real friend who will never forsake us, never abandon us to the dogs, and never leave us in the dumps. His name is Jesus Christ. We all know that song, I Have a Friend in Jesus. I have a friend in Jesus. Don't quit on Him, because He did not quit on you while He was on the cross. He didn't quit on you. He could have. He could have just as easily come off that cross and said, nope, I'm not doing this for you. Are you kidding me? He could have done that just as easy in a twinkling of an eye. But He didn't. He was your real friend. Third point of the night of not quitting or giving up. And we kind of mentioned this a little earlier and while we were chatting. The third reason of not quitting or giving up is God is waiting for you to come to Him. That should be enough said right there. God's waiting on you. Now, I'm not saying it's us pursuing God. Please don't get me that way. God is the one that's pursuing us. Because He is our friend. He wants to see you saved. He wants to see you in His kingdom. Many would like to think, well, I went and found God. Yeah, keep thinking that. I didn't find God. God found me. I was lost. I was that little sheep that was lost. We know Jesus Himself said it, that He leaves the 99 just to go look for the one. And I thought about that. I looked at that passage a lot. I'm getting off track a little bit. But you know what? Wow. He left the 99 sheep just to go after that one. That one was you. But in Isaiah chapter 30, verse 13 says this: "Therefore the Lord will wait, that he may be gracious to you, and therefore he will be exalted, that he may have mercy on you. For the Lord is your God of justice. Blessed are those who wait for him." Oh, man, that's wonderful. And if you notice in the first part of this verse, when you read it, look at the question I'm fixing to say. Who is the one waiting? Who's the one that's waiting? Someone care to take a shot at that? Who is the one being patient? God. Do you see that? God is. He is the one waiting for you to come to him. How long has he been waiting? A day? An hour? A month? A lifetime? Eternity? But why is God waiting for you to come to him? Why? Is he waiting to pounce on your every mistake? Is he waiting to condemn you for your actions? Is he going to point out all of your faults and failures? Is that why he is waiting for you? Is that the reason? No. He's waiting for you to come to him so that he can show you his love and compassion. For the Lord is a faithful God. We must not only think of our waiting upon God, but also of what is more wonderful still, of God's waiting upon us. The vision of him waiting on us will give us new impulse and inspiration to our waiting upon him. It will give us unspeakable confidence that our waiting cannot be in vain. If he waits for us, then we may be sure that we are more than welcome, that he rejoiced to find those he has been looking for. Folks, don't give up on him. Don't give up. Instead, do what Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 13 tells us to do. I love this passage. I got it hanging right in front of me on the shelf, a little piece of paper. In fact, I got 29:11 and 29:13 written right there so I can look at every morning I sit here at my desk and read. I read my Bible as I always do. Read my other books, but I always have that, and I look at that to remind myself of this. Look what it says. "And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart." Now we know the Lord told that to Jeremiah. And some people like to say, hey, the Bible was written just for you. Well, it was written for us, but some things you have to understand and take into context. Who was it written really for? Who was he talking to at the time? Yes, he was talking to Jeremiah, but I like to take that passage, and I like to look at that, and he's kind of in a way telling us, okay, look, if we're seeking him with all of our hearts, we will find him. Because he's already there waiting on you. Child, I knew you was coming. I didn't have to go very far. I've been after you ever since you can even remember. Yeah, I let you do your little thing. Live your own way. But I've been there all the time. I never left you. And let us seek even now at this moment, at this particular point of time, in the spirit of lowly waiting on God, to find out something of what it means. "Therefore will the Lord wait, that he may be gracious unto you? Will he accept and echo back the message, blessed are all that wait for him? Don't give up. God has not given up on you. God does not quit. It is we who quits and walks away. Run to him with open arms and seek refuge into his loving arms. So in closing, in this message, we have covered the main reasons why I think we shouldn't quit on God. We shouldn't quit on God. And it's because we're faithful to him no matter what we're facing in life. Yes? You can feel my pain right now. Or if you want, call it the burden. I don't know how to describe it. It's just what I feel. Yes, folks, it's hard. And yes, at times, we have given into the thought of quitting or just giving up on him. And yes, we think that, hey, you know what? Life would be better if we had not decided to follow him at all. Oh, I thought that thought many times. Oh. Heard an old song the other day. I was fumbling through some of my old photos, the way I used to look for my mullet cut, you know, my 80s disco looking clothes and my hot rod that I had, you know, the money that I had. I'm not proud of those days and the women that I had, the life that I had. Oh, I started thinking about, I don't know. Maybe my life would have been better off if I had not decided to follow him. Would it have been better? No. But I want to remind us, those who are of God should know this is not true. I was quickly reminded again, Jimmy, why are you thinking that? Why are you even thinking those thoughts? I don't know. I guess it's the old nature in us, but I know it's not true. I know it's not true. Why? Why it's not true? Well, it falls down to this. No matter what, we remain faithful to him, and as I said, it hurts. And we do doubt at times, and we do fall into difficult walks. But we are to overcome and remain faithful to him because he did so to the Father on that cross. That's where I get inspired whenever I look to the cross. I posted a video on Facebook the other day was showing him how he was badly beaten, whipped, maimed, mangled. I know it's a graphic section, but I think it comes from the Passion of the Christ. But when you look at how it was shown, how it was done for real, and when he grabbed his hand and put it on that beam and drove that nail through his hands. And when they drove it through his feet, it teared me up. It still gets to me what he did for me, what he did for you. Don't quit. Don't quit. He didn't. on that cross after all he went through. And the difference between faithful people and unfaithful people is that faithful people don't give up at the first sign of difficulty. They keep on keeping on. And I'm still reminded, you know, when I read the passage, you know, how he was carrying that cross. No human could have done that. And how he was collapsed and bleeding and weak and dying. But he was still persistent to carry that cross, knowing he was fixing to face the worst. He kept on. He kept on. And they, like us, we need to keep on. Faithful people are determined. Faithful people are diligent. Faithful people are persistent. Faithful people don't know how to quit. You know how a little acorn becomes an oak tree? An oak tree is just an acorn that refuses to give up. Look, folks, I'm not that smart. But I do know one thing. It's always too soon to quit. You're never a failure until you quit. And it's always too soon to quit. God uses tough times to test our persistence. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35 to 36 says this. So do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. God's word declares that it's possible to face the agonizing realities of life with joy because the testing of our faith produces steadfastness and it gives rise to endurance. But a hard Christian walk with the Lord doesn't automatically produce pleasant things. It doesn't. In fact, the trials we face in our walk with the Lord sometimes makes us despondent, impatient, envious, or even at times angry. But if we don't give up, if we don't quit, suffering can produce a harvest of righteousness. Folks, don't give up. Don't give in. Why? Well, the wonderful answer is this. The resistance is often the fiercest right before the breakthrough. Let me rephrase it. The resistance is often the fiercest right before your breakthrough. Let that sink in. Don't quit. Don't give up. Because whatever else comes our way, let us never stop looking to Jesus. Let us not stop. Keep your eyes focused on him. Amen. Let's pray.